Welcome to another edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. Professors Burgess and Bussey here. If you're not familiar with our daily show, you can find out more by going to Rick and Bubba, spell out the word and.com. We do that Monday through Friday. And this is designed for us to get into real specific conversations on topics and guests. And Bubba, though our guest today has been on the big show, it's his first time on the podcast. And this is a dear friend of the show, Jordy Henson. Jordy, what exactly do you do for a living?
I'm in the commercial real estate development business and as little as possible.
Because you ever had those friends that you don't really know what they do for a living?
Yeah.
You try to kind of figure it out.
They seem like they're doing okay.
Yeah.
They're always available.
I'm not sure how he
really
makes
money. Yeah, you never see him break a sweat.
Yeah. Sometimes when we pray, he'll say things, pray that this deal comes through. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, right.
We take raw dirt and turn it into something that hopefully will make money.
Okay. Is that the bottom line?
Bottom line.
Bottom line.
I like that description.
I do too. Well, you were on the show because, unfortunately, we were all shocked to find out that you were diagnosed with ALS. We're working to try to continue to raise some money for the ongoing research. So I think even though we covered this part and we want to get an update on the big show, a lot of people – this podcast goes out everywhere, and some people even think this is all we do is this podcast. So let's first of all, because I know the first time you hear, oh, this person has ALS, the first thing people want to ask is, well, how did they know? What was the first indication that you needed to get something checked?
So, yeah, we need to recap part of your story just to set it up for everybody.
So tell us that first of all.
Sure.
What was going on and how you were diagnosed?
Well, I hate to tell y'all, but I was doing fine. And then the first part of the year, I started noticing a twitch in my upper left arm. And then I noticed that it wouldn't go away. And it wasn't painful. It was just a real nuisance. And I mean 24/7. And it started coming down my arm and just feeling odd. And so Kim, my lovely wife, was like, you need to go to the doctor. And so finally I did, and basically did a bunch of tests. And then that led to a visit with a neurologist who is a generalist but has some experience in ALS. And he put me through very thorough testing. I mean, praise the Lord for Dr. Strong. And very quickly. And then reached the point where he said, I hate to tell you, but I think your muscles are deteriorating, and I think you've got ALS. And then I had to get up off the floor.
Yeah. So, I mean, that had to be a tough moment to get that diagnosis.
Bubba, I mean, I can't even – because I wasn't – that wasn't even in my mind's eye.
So you had you didn't see that coming from anywhere?
Not a chance. I didn't even really know – when he said ALS, it hit me so hard. I was like, is that Lou Gehrig? Is he? I mean, which one is that?
Right.
You know, it just took a minute.
Well, let me ask you this too, because then, because I remember this process for those of us, you know, that are your close friends. Mm-hmm. And but then there became that point that I guess you just have to do, because there is no test for ALS. They have to rule out everything else.
Right.
So when that process started, you go back to Dr. Strong, you realize he knew what he was talking about. But when it first started, I remember so vividly going home when you said it was okay and telling Sherry about that. And Sherry just said, well, that's not going to happen. He does have ALS. And I said, well, the doctor thinks he does. No, he didn't have ALS. And I remember that you know, because I have two sons getting married this year. And, of course, you say cry me a river with your multiple daughters that have all been married. You're like, yeah, you got
cha-ching,
to do it. You got to do it with sons. I've got three daughters already and a son still to go. But we were at the little engagement thing.
Yeah.
And Sherry was just telling Jordy's wife, Kim, that he does not have ALS.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Sherry, I don't want you to build up false hope. But she goes, I'm just not going to hear it. He doesn't have ALS.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. And then she's like, when they send him off to Mayo Clinic, they're going to clear him of this, and it's all going to be good. Did you take that attitude on, or were you afraid to?
Not really, because, I mean, I kind of – something weird was going on.
Yeah.
And I knew I either had ALS or something.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't go to Mayo Clinic from Birmingham, Alabama with a cough.
Right. You just coughed, by the way.
I know.
And I did, too.
You go because something serious is going on.
That's true.
And so, but what was odd, Rick, is, I mean, obviously, y'all helped me get through that and kind of fight through those first few days.
Yeah.
But then it was kind of like when I went on May 1st, I was like, okay, you know, whatever. It was a really, you know, it was just
it was
an amazing experience those 2 weeks, two or three weeks.
In such an odd way, but you're right. And explain to the audience that hears that and goes, what do you mean? Do you think that derives from your faith?
There's no question. I mean, when I'm weak, then he's strong.
Amen.
And so that was about as weak as I've ever been. And I immediately went into the debate, God, what are you doing? What's going on? And was very clearly led to, hey, I got you. I'm on your side. You're in a battle. The scriptures speak about the battle that you're in. Satan wants to get victory from this.
Oh, yeah.
And that ain't going to happen.
Right.
And so who knows what the future details hold, but I have never been more at peace with whatever the outcome may be.
Yeah, and do you find, because I've had people ask, you know, everybody goes through difficulty. You're either in it or you're coming out of it or it's coming.
Storms are coming.
Yeah. And so, but I've said this before, and you had the same thing. Isn't it wonderful to be people of faith? And not that it's okay, or not that it doesn't bother us at all, or not, you know, it's okay for us to be sad. But I still love the fact that when we're able to face adversity, which God has told us about, He didn't hide it from us. It's not that it's easy, but we sure do know what to do.
Oh my gosh.
Not like we're sitting there going, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well,
I think you
realize the reality of the perspective of what it is like to think eternal instead of temporal.
Yeah.
I mean, we act like this is heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
So true.
And we're so, I got to hang on. And we should. We should live.
Sure.
Enjoy. I've had a great life, and I hope I live another 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fight to do that. When I leave here, it's better.
Oh yeah,
this is as bad as it's gonna get.
Right.
And so I think you either reach that point and you have the eternal perspective, or you reach that point and you really don't believe.
Right.
And so everything is based on this life and this now, and you crush.
Yeah.
Because if you've built, we talked about this before. If you've built your house on the rock. When that storm comes, it's going to stand. Because the rock, it doesn't go away when you take your last breath.
And like you and I discussed, and Bubba, and we discussed it on the air, but don't miss when Jesus tells you about these two men, the storm hit both houses.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. It's just,
storms are going to happen.
It's just one of them couldn't stand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
But what it is, it's just a tough moment, though, when you're told that. Because you can have deep spiritual convictions and live it out and believe it, but the flesh, I mean, we're all wearing an old earth suit, you know, and it fights. Yeah. It is a tough battle.
But
not only in that moment, but in everyday life, too.
Let me tell you how it was cool to see God work in that moment. Okay, number one, we live in Birmingham, Alabama. UAB is a fantastic hospital. Got a really good ALS clinic. I decided very quickly that because of research and pursuing everything, I wanted to go to Mayo. Well, it was going to take 6 or 7 weeks to get an appointment at UAB. I call Mayo personally.
So you just picked up the phone to call?
I said, hey, they're telling me I got ALS. I've decided I want to go to Mayo. When can I come? She says, honey, hold on just a minute. It was like a Tuesday. She said, well, not this Friday, but how about the next?
You got to be kidding me.
I'm like, did you say next Friday? Yes.
Mayo Clinic?
Mayo Clinic. So we get there, and because my attitude was okay, I told my doctor, who's this Swedish doctor, he's a great guy, I said, look, I think what you're going to do, you're going to validate what I already know. don't worry about it. Just do your exam. I think I know what you're going to tell me. And you need to know I'm okay regardless.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian.
Right.
I know what I believe. I know where I'm going.
Right.
I'm not worried. And he looked at me with that. Mm-hmm. But what happened is he said, okay, I'm going to immediately do the test. Well, typically they'll do the test. And then he said, usually we wait a few days to validate some things and then call you and say, yes, you do have. He said, because you're here and because I can tell, I can emotionally, I can deliver this to you. They immediately started my testing that afternoon.
Wow.
And then I get into this research.
Some of y'all
study.
Don't know what a supernatural miracle that is.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
For you to get into Mayo and get testing going that quick.
Unbelievable. Doesn't happen.
Right. But it did.
And now I'm in a research project.
Yeah, and we're going to unpack that and talk a little bit about that. So we do want you, you're in a very unique situation because those of you right now that are going through it, you're really the first group of people.
Mm.
For them to say, let's see if we can come up with something that maybe people, this isn't a diagnosis that means your life will now deteriorate and end very quickly.
Correct.
So we'll come back and we'll talk more about that with Jordy Henson on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so Bubba, let's talk a little bit about one of the most popular items in the Rick and Bubba family, the Raycon Everyday Earbuds.
Rick, we get email after email, people raving about these, not only how good they perform, but how rugged they are. People drop them, lose them, wash them.
Yeah, and we love them. And you know, a lot of times I know we all fall victim to this. You go premium audio brands. Okay, so over here, these cost double what Raycon costs, so they must be better. No, it's not true at all. As a matter of fact, these are phenomenal earbuds, about half the price of the others. And they also have those optimized gel tips. And I love this because it gives you a perfect in-ear fit no matter – I feel like sometimes I've got strange ears. nothing really fits in my ears, right? Yeah.
Are your ears the same on both sides or are they a little different?
They're a little different. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, mine too. Yeah.
But anyway, they're very comfortable. They don't budge. They give you 8 hours of playtime, 32-hour battery life. Do you realize right now they have 78,000 five-star reviews and they're priced at half the price of the other audio brands? And because you are catching Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, are you ready? The earbuds that we love and we wear and they're awesome – an additional 20% off.
There you go.
And, I mean, this is going to be site-wide today. So go to buyraycon.com/RickBubbaPod. Put Rick, Bubba, and Pod all together. Buyraycon.com/RickBubbaPod and get 20% off site-wide and free shipping. So do this right now, and you can enjoy the earbuds that we love from Raycon. Jordy Henson is our guest on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. So we just talked about when you got the word and all the miraculous things that happened about you hearing that you had ALS. And we're not getting overly emotional here, but I will open up something that if I was watching this podcast or listening to this podcast, there's an interesting dynamic between Jordy and me, and this is Rick talking, that some of you don't know. And, of course, Bubba does, but Jordy was in the car with me, the only friend of mine that was there because of the situation. And I think about that a lot when I think about this ALS thing you're going through.
Too.
He was in the vehicle with me when I heard my son had died. And we're in there together. So you got to see a friend of yours hear that kind of news. And then for us to be sitting there again with each other and you get the news like this. And I can't help but think that there's been a lot of preparation throughout these 15 years that we've, that's been 15 years. So but the fact that we were in that moment together and experienced that news that nobody wanted to hear. And then you heard news again that nobody wanted to hear, but you were ready. Yeah. And I'm not saying that I don't want to overplay that, but I think it's significant.
Brothers in the battle, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so once you've been through the battle together.
Yeah.
And we learn and we grow together. Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all of that is, it's tough.
Yeah.
Life is tough. And so to be at that point where you've experienced it so that you're prepared.
Yeah.
Makes all the difference.
It does. And I found just what you were talking
because
about.
Because that is the rock.
Yeah, it is. But it's almost like, you know, when you're ever sitting there and like, you know how sometimes somebody, you see people come off the field of a battle, like say in sports, and they give them oxygen and it's waiting on them to say, I needed that.
Yeah.
It's almost like those of us that are redeemed, when we have trauma like that, you look over and the Holy Spirit's like, here's what you need.
Yeah.
And it just gives it to you. It gives you that life so it doesn't crush you.
Yeah.
Back to the rock.
Yeah.
And so now you're at Mayo, and you are part of a unique group. Tell everybody what's going on.
Yeah, so I'll try not to get too technical because y'all know I'm a very sophisticated analyst of medical situation and technology.
Well, you just ramp it up, and we'll wave you off before you go over the cliff.
So
you go down the rabbit hole, we'll let you know.
So here's the deal. As I understand it, 4 or 5 years ago, they being them, Mayo and MD Anderson,
all these researchers, they
figure out that there's a gene that people have, then if they have the gene, they're getting ALS. So they go to work to figure out how to attack that gene.
Totally genetic. Right.
Bad gene. Well, they've worked forward, and they finally went through trial, and in April of this year, which is what? Is that 6 months ago? 5 months ago?
What, where are we at? We're in nine?
April, we're
that's
in
four, so
four
five.
Four or five, yeah. Five.
Okay, so in April, it got approved. I got diagnosed in May.
Wow.
Okay. Well, the doctor tells me about this gene and this new medicine. Don't know what it's going to do. I'm like, I really don't want that gene.
Because that's what it would mean to your
that's
children.
That's a bad one. Right. I don't want that in my family. Well, turns out I didn't have that gene, but I did have another gene. Back up to the previous gene, the really bad gene. In June, we come in and he shows us testimony of like three different people who actually had, for the first time in the history of ALS, some gain of function.
Wow.
A guy saying, I couldn't stand up and watch. And he stands up.
Wow.
So that medicine is working. Well, the gene I've got, a similar type medicine, is in trial. There's 90 people in the U.S. that's in the trial. I was 89th.
Wow.
If I had been 2 days shy of when I got in, I wouldn't have gotten in. So that's what I'm doing every week, is going and getting an infusion in my back. And really, it's every other week, and then in between, I have to do the clinical trial, or the clinical for the trial drug, where they test me and do all kinds of stuff while I'm down there. But who knows what this drug may do? I mean, we already know for the first time there are a few people that are seeing some positive results.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what this does relative to the gene I've got.
Jordy, let me ask you this, and again, we may be going too far into this because I don't fully understand it either, but how does that gene affect what is happening to your nervous system? Do you know, or is it just a marker? You got it and this happens.
No, that gene, I don't understand the specifics, but that gene produces a protein. And, you know, it's DNA, RNA, or RNA, DNA to a protein.
Right.
And that protein interacts with whatever the signals are, the flow between my brain and my muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And so it thinks that it needs to defend my muscles. So it is sending out these proteins like crazy, fighting. It thinks it's fighting on my behalf.
Right.
As
but
my
it's
doctor put it.
Destroyed.
Yeah. Your gene thinks that it's saving your life and really is killing you.
Right.
Wow.
So this medicine, it doesn't destroy the gene. It manipulates it. So somehow it tells
it. Tries to train it to do something different?
Yeah, it tells it, hey.
Don't need those proteins.
We don't need those proteins anymore. How all that.
Isn't that amazing that they can do this? I mean, we've come a long way from chewing bark to relieve a little pain. You know what I mean?
Guys, the fact that they can know that I've got a gene? I mean, and then take that to, well, we can put this in you, and it can, it just boggles my mind.
Now, we did get a new prayer request at that time, because you have to have a placebo bunch to see if it's working.
Right.
And we don't want to be in the placebo bunch. Right. Now, the good news is, as you told us, in the United States of America, 6 months is as long as they can keep you in the placebo.
Right.
And you got to get the drug.
Right.
But we don't want to be 6 months behind.
Correct.
I know you don't know, but that's been our prayer. But any indications?
My wife is convinced I'm getting the medication.
Okay.
That logic comes from the fact that my stomach has been about to explode, okay, or does explode off and on for the last 5 weeks.
Okay.
And including prior to teaching Sunday school yesterday, which is a side story altogether.
Oh, no.
And unbelievably funny.
Okay. So it's rare that we would celebrate such stomach attacks.
My wife is
It might be a positive. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I've never seen Kim happy about something like that.
A placebo probably wouldn't do that.
Right. That's her logic.
What you're thinking. Yeah.
That's her
Well, that's
logic.
Not bad logic,
no,
right?
I mean, your body's
responding to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you're not eating any different than you did.
Not that I'm aware of.
Right. So, did you get Sunday school class done?
I did, but of course I had to explain to them what had happened, because I just couldn't help but share.
You'll share.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's a good one.
You are not a closed book, my friend.
No. No.
So we think that may be a positive.
Think so.
Yeah. And
although I don't feel that way sometimes.
Right.
When would you see results from it? What are they telling you?
Okay. My doctor told me this last time. So I just got my third infusion. So what that did, the first every other week, it gets me fully drugged up, if mm-hmm. you will. Okay. So now I'm at a stable level that I should have about 6 weeks of the drug. Then every month they give it, and it keeps it stable.
Right. You have and a dosing amount to begin with.
Correct.
Right.
And so he said seeing results usually is five to six months into the process, because your body is adjusting and right. that gene is trying to figure out what's going on. So
we'll come back. We'll continue our conversation with Jordy Henson when Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, continues. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, I mean, we literally on the bigger show today, the weekly show, we had somebody calling up, and they're saying, well, I'll tell you what, I just can't ever support that company. And then somebody said, you say, well, where are you going to go, bro? I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
what's your options out there?
Where are these conservative companies everywhere? I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice. Well, I have good news. When it comes to wireless service, you do have a choice, and it's Patriot Mobile. America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and look, when I say only, trust me, there's not another one, they've supported what we do, which we thank them for that, and a lot of you are supporting what they do because you love having this choice. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage. Now you're going to have access to all the major networks, okay, the big three, which means you get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to, but you're not funding the left. You're not funding some of these movements. You're not having to put any logos on your receipt or your invoice. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message. What? You want to support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment. You know, our military veterans and first responders are heroes, and we've got even special savings for you. Here's what I like. The customer service team, 100% based right here in the United States.
Oh, isn't that a pleasant surprise?
Yes. I mean, all we got to work through now is my Southern accent, but that's it. So you want to keep the number you got now? That's fine. Keep it. You don't have to send or buy a new number. You can keep your phone to upgrade. The team will help you find the best plan that's for you. So why don't you go now to patriotmobile.com/Rick Bubba. That's patriotmobile.com/Rick Bubba. Or you can call them 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Rick Bubba. Join us and make that switch today. So, Bubba, we're talking with Jordy Henson on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. So we talked about when you were diagnosed with ALS. We talked about you're now part of this special group and all the miracles that have gone with that, where you're being tested. You've had the treatment how long now?
I had my third infusion Tuesday, so I'm 5 weeks into it.
5 weeks into it. And so how does this work? You obviously live in Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to Jacksonville, Florida, and I guess you got to do that every week for?
For 6 weeks, and then every other week thereafter.
Right. And so you've discovered, because of this disease, people, and which you're going to continue to try to help with that, by the way, be checking that out on the weekly show, people have donated money and people have funded this ongoing research. Really, you found that there's a lot of help out there for people who are looking for treatment.
It's unbelievable. There's a couple of medications for ALS that are on the market. And if you are, particularly if you're in need, you can pretty much get support to pay for that medication if you can get your insurance company to work with you. As to the research project, and I believe it's a foundation associated with the drug maker who obviously wants the drug to be approved.
Sure, and work.
Yeah, they're supporting the research and basically pay for flights, hotels, and food while we're there, going and coming.
Wow.
And so it was just one of those, you know, God things, because I'm sitting there saying, well, gosh, I want to do it. I will do it. We'll figure it out. And then this weight was just, you know, released because they provide for it.
Right.
So tremendous. There you go.
That takes another, a big burden off. Another miracle.
But another just tremendous blessing to help fight this battle.
You know, too, Jordy, you talked about it. I know you've had to deal with that directly and Rick indirectly, but the same topic. I had the same thing when they walk in and said, hey, you got cancer.
Yeah,
and you're just, you know, but there was, in our situation, too, I feared ever hearing that because of things we'd seen in our family, but it just wasn't that scary when they said it.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I see what you're going through too. And I know you're wanting to get people to understand that, because
right.
if you haven't been told that, your day's coming.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We're all gonna face the, you know, our earthly short term life.
Right.
And it can be devastating to
right.
people, and it doesn't have to be.
Right. Right. I totally agree. And I think also, you know, really believing that the day after I leave this earth, it's better.
Yeah.
Really deeply, yeah. to the point where it's kind of like the rich young ruler. You know, he asked Jesus, hey, what I do? And Jesus says, well, one more thing. Just sell everything you got and give to the poor. And he left sad. Well, the sad thing really about that is he didn't trust Jesus
right.
enough.
That it was right. better.
Because what if he'd have done what Jesus told him to do, it was going to be better.
Yeah.
His life was less because he thought what was better instead of what Jesus. Well, I think my faith in this, leaning in and really listening, the day after I leave here. Now, I think about, you know, the kids, grandkids, weddings. But the day after I leave here is going to be better.
The second
yeah.
you leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That will rock your faith.
And you know, too, it's complicated because we are eternal beings wrapped in a flesh
Absolutely.
Suit.
Absolutely.
And that is such an unusual
yeah.
mix
yeah.
of things when you think about it.
Yeah.
To have to deal with that. And you know, I'm guilty of it. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I don't study heaven enough.
Mm.
Mm. You know, we can get caught up in a lot of the other things, and I don't mean they're bad.
Right.
About a Christian walk and commandments and wanting to, you know, move toward the person we need to be. But I don't spend enough time thinking about what you're talking
right.
about, what's out there.
Yeah.
And I think when you do and you get that, and there's no way we can fully understand it. We know
right.
that too. It makes all this other so the everyday stuff we go through.
Right.
So minor.
Right. Well,
and you know, we got to, I think, well, you know, so we have a tendency to be, you know, as humans to be greedy. I mean, that's something we always fight. But I think there's a way you can channel that to be greedy for heaven, you know, to want those rewards, to want those crowns, and to do a good job there as opposed to here.
Amen.
And it's just hard to do that.
I told our Sunday school class this past Sunday, I said, what if, you know, everybody's talking about addiction and dopamine and what if our dopamine was really set to be heaven focused?
Right.
That the thing that really fired us up was that we're just living a life here, learning, growing, trying to get closer to Him. And ultimately our home where there's no tears, there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no sorrow, there's no tiredness, there's no stress, there's none of the pressures and the anxiety. None of it exists anymore.
It's something we don't get to experience as adults now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And you know, you were talking about that, and I think about, Bubba, when you heard the word cancer, when you heard the word ALS, when I heard the word your son could not be revived.
Yeah.
All of us are saying, because we're followers of Jesus, I want you to get this, Bubba had the supernatural something come over here he can't explain. And all of us think, I don't want to hear cancer. I don't want to hear cancer. I don't want to hear ALS. I don't want to hear ALS. I don't want to hear my kids dead. You know, all those things are daunting and scary things. And sitting in this room is three of the biggest ones, okay? Mm. And everybody, we're not trying to say that your suffering is less than ours. It's not.
No.
God does not quantify pain and suffering. It's all bad. But these are three things, if we're honest. The terminal illness and death of children is about as big as it gets, you know?
Yep.
And so we but what I found out is, and y'all are both touching on it, and I know some people watching and listening to this aren't going to get it, and I hope that you will do what we did, which was repent and leave faith in ourselves and place our faith in Christ and say, change us, forgive us, redeem us. And what all this has done for all of us, and you'll see the first thing we did, is it made us heaven-focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Sherry saying, we have never been so heaven-focused in our lives. And also, I'm telling you, the three guys sitting here, we have been freed from sweating the little things in life. Mm. We just don't sweat it anymore. Mm. And I remember telling you, because we were talking, you're the same boat, I'm the same boat, we always think about our family. I think all of us are ready to go, the three of us.
Right.
But we would say, but what about them? I don't want them to be without me.
Right.
And so that's good. I mean, that's okay. But I remember you and I talking about this. Paul's struggling with this when he's writing to Philippi. He's in jail. He don't know whether he's coming out or not. That, you know, everybody's getting martyred, these followers of Jesus. So it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Right.
And now this time he's going to be free, but he doesn't know it. And he's writing to them saying, I don't know how this is going to play out. And I think this is the way we have to take it. And he said, so here's the deal. If God deems to the church at Philippi that y'all need me, now that would be our family and also the people that we're discipling in the church too. If God determines that y'all still need me, he's going to let me walk out of here. Okay? And that's fine. Even though to be with him would be better, if it'll serve you guys for me to stay and God allows that, then I'm good with that. However, if he calls me home, to live as Christ, to die as gain.
Mm-hmm.
I will now be in the presence of the one I'm serving, and that'll be the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. So whatever God's call is, I'm good.
Right.
Remember what he said? He said, I've learned to be content. He said, all these things I thought I needed. What did you butt with y'all say? Stop trying to build heaven on earth. Yep. Paul said, I tried to build heaven on earth. Once I experienced Jesus, those things are dung. Mm-hmm. Those things are garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost them all, but I gained Christ. And so if you can ever get to the live as Christ, die as gain, if you can ever get there, it is the most wonderful life I have ever lived, and nothing I've ever lived before getting there. And I don't want to say that I would wish what we've been through on anybody.
No. Right.
But I'm telling you, God used it for you good.
If you're pursuing
Christ. Now, if you're lost, this is all despair stuff we're talking about. You got nothing. Think about this. Everybody in here. Okay, all three of us. We've had things happen in our life that if this was all there was, it's over. We'll never be joyful again.
I mean,
you know, think of all the people we've lost. Think of all the people that have gone before us. Think of, You know, I mean, my dad's got Alzheimer's. Yeah. I mean, so that's it. I'll never see my dad whole again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see, I mean, boy, thank goodness this isn't it.
Amen to that.
And so these things, they'll give you a heaven-focused life that is game changer.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Well, it's what Scripture says. And Jesus provided the answer.
Right. And
when we couldn't do it for ourselves.
That's right.
The moment
he did it for us.
That all of us needed the Holy Spirit the most, he was there.
Absolutely.
Ready.
That's so true.
There's a reason he's called the helper.
That's right.
Good stuff. He sure does help.
Yeah. Because if not, we'd all been on our faces just done.
Oh. Well, I remember Greg, and Bubba, you may remember this too. He said, Greg was with me, talking about my situation, but that's what we're talking about. He said, I was in the hospital waiting room, and I told everybody, this is going to go one or two ways. And if he's not who I think he is spiritually, this is going to be real bad.
Right.
You're going to see a dark version of my brother that ain't nobody going to like.
Right.
But if he's who I think he is, you're going to see more devotion to Christ than ever.
Right.
And you're going to see God be glorified. Right. But it could go either way.
Right.
So imagine if you ain't got him.
Right.
These kind of things send you in a completely different direction.
Right.
And I think that's the underlying message here, the good news.
Amen.
Translated, the gospel.
Amen.
It's available for everybody.
Amen.
And it's real. That's the thing that gets me.
Can't measure it, can't show you.
People will hear these stories and they'll say, well, that's just kind of stuff. They've sold themselves on her. I feel it.
Amen.
It's to your point, the Holy Spirit, when you lean into the Holy Spirit, it is so real. It's as real as this table.
Mm-hmm.
You can't show it with a meter. You can't prove it with electronics or whatever, but it is real.
And if you reject it, you'll never feel it.
Right.
But if you'll receive it, oh my gosh, when you need it most, it changes everything.
Amen. We'll come back. We'll finish up this edition of Rick and Bubba University with Jordy Henson right after this. All right, so let's talk about, you know, we were talking about things we all have had to work through. There's some bad habits out there that are hard to break. I know, and some of it is a hand-to-mouth thing. Some of it's, you know, I need to fidget with something. Well, let me tell you about this new product called Fume. You know, a lot of people, you know, say, well, look, this cold turkey thing, it's difficult. I need some help. Well, this may be the help you're looking for, and it is not anything you have to be concerned about because it's not a bad habit. It's something that can help you get off some bad habits, and you can use your Fume product because it's completely natural. It's not electronics. It's flavored air. There's no harmful chemicals involved in it. It's all natural, delicious flavors, and you get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy, and it makes replacing the bad habit easy. The taste is great. You're going to love it. It comes with adjustable airflow designed with movable parts and magnets, too, for you fidgeting if you kind of need that. Keep your fingers busy. Helps with de-stressing anxiety while breaking your bad habit. So if you'd like to get yours right now, do this. Go to TryFume. Now, when I say Fume, even though I'm saying it this way, it's spelled F-U-M. So TryFume.com. Use the code RICKBUBBA. Save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack today. That's TryFume.com. Use the code RICKBUBBA for 10% off. All right, so as we come back and we wrap up this Rick and Bubba University podcast, we've got about 6-7 minutes left. We're visiting with Jordy Henson. You've been diagnosed with ALS. You're part of a test group trying some new drugs. We've talked about how our faith in Christ and your faith in Christ is a game changer. We understand there's people watching this, listening to this, as y'all all said, that may not believe what we believe. But I think sometimes when people are looking for proof, watching us go through difficulty, Scripture speaks to this, many times can be the proof people are looking for.
Mm. Yeah.
So tell me how it's affecting the people working with you.
I think that they've seen the reality behind the words. I think, you know, just from being on the show the other day, I've had people reach out to me that have ALS that are in more despair because they look at it as it's just the end. And, you know, my message to them is it doesn't have to be. It can be the next step to the beginning of all eternity. And so I think people are seeing that. They've been responsive to the message. What's wild about it, Rick, is I'm like, I don't know any other way to.
Right,
it's
just now.
It's just
spiritual.
It's just who we are.
Right.
I mean,
it's your spiritual reflex.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
no, that's true. Yeah,
yeah. It's not. So I feel burdened for people that don't understand it. I can't imagine seeing life that way, and being just going to bed at night. You know, people are like, "How do you when you think at night?" And you, I was like, "I sleep like a baby," and it's because I'm comforted. You know, do I think about things like estates and insurance and wills and make sure?
Yeah.
But when I say, "Lord, let's talk more in the morning. Give me a good night's rest."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And see you soon.
Yeah.
It's just perfect peace.
And see, what we've talked about too is not a guarantee that you're going to win your battle. I'm going to win my battle. Hey, we're all dying.
We're all dying.
Okay.
Everybody's
got a date out there.
Everybody watching this. And we're closer to our death today than we were yesterday.
It's just having the peace walking through it. That's all we can guarantee.
And we will sell out our very souls for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years when all eternity is in the balance.
Yeah.
Which is a long time.
Man, don't let your soul go for all eternity for the benefit, like the rich young ruler, of just a little time.
Yeah.
Golly, that's horrible.
Well, you know, your
eternity has already started for us.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
We're on the launching pad.
Yeah.
Well, I say this, and you know this, and it's one of our favorite verses, is that John 16:33. And you're experiencing it. You experienced it. I experienced it. You know what? When like you, all of us have said, the reason why we know this is real because we see it.
Yeah,
we see it. You know, it's kind of like when Paul is in 1 Corinthians 15, and everybody's starting to doubt the resurrection. He's like, "What?" And he gives all the reasons why the resurrection happened, and he gives the witnesses and all this. And then he goes, "And what about me? Do y'all remember me before Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you see how it's changed me?" And so, but one of the things, you know, when Jesus said this, the first words he says, "I say this so that you'll have peace." Okay, I'm in. Right. What do you mean? Because I'll tell you what. In this place, peace is hard to find.
Yeah.
In this world, you will face tribulation. Not you might.
You will.
You will.
Bones will break.
But when my people are facing tribulation, they can always have joy in their heart and the peace that I promise, because I, Jesus, have overcome the world.
Amen.
Meaning, to what you just said, this is not going to be all there ever is, and this is as bad as it's ever going to get for the redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not redeemed, that's different.
Right.
You don't have that peace. You don't know what's going to happen. And you think this might be all there is, and then worse, there's an eternity for you too.
Mm.
But it's not better than this.
Right.
It's going to be worse.
Right.
And so if you're out there, and you see these three good ones, and that's all we are. We ain't nothing but men saved by grace. Okay, and if he can redeem us, you won't be a problem. Okay,
and yeah, trust me.
So why don't you? I mean, why don't you just say, "Hey, maybe today, I want that peace." Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And so I tell you what, I'm just as best I know how. You may not know much about the Bible. That's all right. I didn't either when I was first redeemed. I pretended I did, but I didn't. And you just say, "Jesus, I want you to forgive me. Mm. I know I'm a sinner, and I want you to forgive me. And I'm hearing these guys talk about you. You may or may not be familiar with the gospel that Jesus went and paid the price that we all need to pay. And you're saying, okay, I want you to pay that price for me too. And so I want to be forgiven of my sin. And I've tried being under my own authority, and it hadn't produced much for me.
Hadn't panned out.
I'm anxious. I'm worried. I don't have peace that they're talking about. So how about this? Will you be my Lord? I want you to be Lord of my life. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord, and I leave faith in myself, and I put my faith in you.
Mm.
So I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins, and I say, forgive me. I leave faith in myself. I put my faith in you. And Scripture tells us, Romans 10:9-10, if you want to go read it, Scripture tells us that if you're sincere, now we don't know if you are. Now he does. You know whether you're sincere.
Mm.
These words won't save you. But if you're sincere, it says that he'll forgive you and he will bring to you the peace that we've been talking about. And if you have, you need some help, just reach out to us, Rick or Bubba at rickandbubba.com. We'll help you. And if Jordy can help you, we'll hook you up with him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jordy.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here.
Hey, can I say one thing real
quick? Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
If you just heard that and you rejected it or you didn't take the time to really ponder what that meant, rethink. Just stop right now and rethink. Because if you'll just ask the Lord to show you his way, he will.
Absolutely.
And it'll change you for all eternity.
He's faithful.
Rethink.
He's faithful.
Rethink.
Thank you. Jordy Hansen, thanks for being here. Bubba, thanks. Always fun to spend some additional time with you. I don't get enough time with you.
Yeah, only about 5 hours today. We're good.
And thanks to all of you for joining us on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast.